This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com, Wednesday morning.
I'll be there for you.
It's the 24th of July. There's quite a lot going on in the United Kingdom at the moment. I don't know if you've been paying attention to the news, but yesterday was Boris Johnson's big day. He has been he's been elected Conservative leader and therefore also Prime Minister. And there's lots of news about this from left and from right. And I'm fortunate to be joined this morning by Lord Peter Hayne, who's someone who we've spoken to before. He used to be a member of Parliament for Neath between 91 and 2015. He served in the cabinets of both Tony Blair and Gordon Brown. He was the leader of the House of Commons from 2003 to 2005 and Secretary of State for Northern Ireland from 2005 to 2007 under Blair, and then the Secretary of State for Work and Pensions as well as Wales from 2007 to 2008. That's under Gordon Brown. He also ran for the deputy leadership of the Labour Party, coming fifth out of six candidates. And so he's by no means someone who isn't, he's embroiled in British politics, even though he's no longer actively involved in it to the degree that he was. He's also got great bona fides when it comes to his involvement with South Africa and the anti-apartheid movement. Lord Peter Hayne, it's nice to talk to you. How are you, sir?
Fine, thanks, Gareth. Good to talk to you on this cold Joburg morning.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the weather, but I somehow feel that things are even colder in the corridors of Parliament for some people. You are, I'm sure, no fan of the mess that is Brexit at the moment, but I would like to hear your thoughts on Boris Johnson as leader of the Conservative Party.
Well, first of all, on Brexit, British government for the last year or so, if not longer, has been completely dysfunctional. It's really noticeable, as somebody who's been in Parliament now in the House of Lords for nearly 30 years, that it is in gridlock and is chaotic. And whatever you said about British policy from time to time, people said, well, it was a reliable country, and that hasn't been the case. And under Boris Johnson, we are heading off into the complete unknown. He could be a British Trump. That's the kind of mold that he's cast himself in, and he's played to that particular gallery. Or he could find the awesome responsibilities of Prime Minister with a massive problem from the tension and conflict in the Gulf around the seizure of an Iranian ship and then the Iranian seizure of a British ship. All of these issues are waiting for him as he steps into number 10 at the end of today after Theresa May goes to the Queen and resigns. So nobody really knows what he's going to do, except on Brexit, he's promising the impossible. And that's the problem with the leavers like him, who pushed Britain out of the European Union in that referendum, though we're still to leave. They're promising people the continued benefits of being in the club without any of the obligations. And all of us know, whether it's at work or a member of our local sports club or gym or whatever it is, that if you want the benefits of being in an organization, you've got to obey the rules. You can't have it both ways. And that's what he's pretended that he can deliver. And it's impossible. So we will see what further crises, and I expect many, we will encounter under his premiership.
Well, I'm curious to hear what your, because Brexit, we haven't quite finished talking about that. And in fact, when I was in London not so long ago, it was all that people were talking about. I'm sure that there are some in Britain who would just love to talk about something else. But it is the overwhelming,
yes.
It's the overwhelming subject of conversation in almost every forum at the moment. Now, there is this tricky situation.
Well, it is, because it's a more significant thing than anything else we've faced since the Second World War in Britain.
Right.
It really is seismic, historically and politically, wrenching ourselves away from 27 other neighbours in the biggest, richest single market in the world. Half our trade takes place with it, and an important security and foreign policy alliance in the battle against climate change has been very important. Brokering the deal with Iran, now torn up by Trump, it's been very important. So it's very significant what's happening to us. And to have a prime minister who you know, in years gone by, Boris Johnson would never have been given the time of day as a possible prime minister. It's a sign of what has happened to British politics, and more widely, that this kind of populism has taken root and really shaken everything up extremely seriously.
Now, I'm curious, because you use the term populism there, and I think we'll all agree that's what's going on, but you almost sound like you're a little upset by it, and I'm curious as to what your point of view is around how this should be handled. There has been a referendum. It can't be ignored. There are people in both the Conservative and the Labour Party who are toying with the idea of there's got to be some way to remain, there's got to be a deal, or there's got to be something that we can cook up. And then there are people who, on the other extreme, are saying, look, we've got to get out. This was what the people wanted, and we've got to make it happen, even if there is no deal. What do you reckon is the best way forward?
Personally, I think this is disastrous for Britain. People voted to leave by a narrow majority, but that's democracy, and you have to respect it, 52% to 48%. But instead of pursuing it, as it were, a one-nation Brexit and trying to keep the economy protected by staying in the European single market, which is such an important one for Britain's economy, so many millions of jobs depended on it, and customs union, instead of doing that, they went under Theresa May, and will even more so under Boris Johnson, who's adopted a more extreme stance, for a kind of hard Brexit that just wrenches us away, at the same time wanting to maintain the advantages, and you just can't do that. So I don't know what's exactly going to happen. I don't think anybody in British politics does, and that's what's so troubling about the situation. Personally, what I would do is actually say to people, whatever comes out of the, if it's a no deal, which means we just fall out into the World Trade Organization terms, tariffs are put up, barriers are put up, the Northern Ireland border goes hard, jeopardizing the hard-won peace process there. What I would do is say to people in a referendum, is this what you really wanted? If it is what you really wanted, because they were never told what leaving meant, if this is really what you want by leaving, well, that's your future, and then you're entitled to vote for it again. But
so another referendum, then?
People should be given a chance to have because this process started by a referendum, very complicated issue, suddenly put yes or no, and I think many people took it as an opportunity to give the political elite a real kicking that they're fed up with after the banking crisis and 6 years of very deep austerity. And they did give political class a kicking.
Little Peter, what about the Labour Party? They're in a state of disarray at the moment. I couldn't find a program on television in the UK while I was there which wasn't showing the Labour Party to be in a real state of fracture. People either completely dislike Jeremy Corbyn for some quite obvious reasons, or they think that there's a chance that he might be able to do something. I mean, either way, if it's Boris Johnson, who some people think is ridiculous, versus Jeremy Corbyn, the irony is that ridiculous as Boris Johnson is, Jeremy Corbyn still comes off second best.
Well, he has yet to position himself in a way that people see him as a future prime minister, and that's the difficulty that we in the Labour Party have. We've got a government in the Conservative government, which is probably the worst government we've had in living memory that anybody could remember of any political strife. And this Brexit chaos is a product of that, where the extremes are, in a sense, pulling the government in their direction rather than trying to operate in a way that brings everybody together to the greatest possible extent. And Jeremy Corbyn has had a huge and deep following. He's the only politician in Britain who can fill a town hall in the smallest village or the largest city to overflowing. At the same time, he's not seen yet as an incoming prime minister. That's his big challenge.
What do you make of his Labour Party?
Shouldn't be. I mean, the last opinion poll had us on 18%.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Now, we should be, as we were when we won in 1997, we should be way ahead against this Conservative government. And we're actually behind it.
Well, Jeremy Corbyn, Jeremy Corbyn has done himself no favors. Every time he opens his mouth to put another anti-Semitic foot in it, he seems to make more enemies rather than friends.
Well, he hasn't dealt with that issue of anti-Semitism well at all. This past week, he has at last come out with a very, very strong statement to every party member, which is welcome, but it's poisoned the party and is a lifelong anti-racist, and also, by the way, a strong supporter of the Palestinian cause. I'm absolutely aghast at what has happened. And he should have gripped it right at the beginning. He didn't, and it's been a curse on the party, with many Jewish members leaving, long-standing Labour, prominent Labour Party members, and also the members of the Jewish community doing the same thing, walking away from Labour, a community that has historically been aligned with us because of Labour's anti-racist record. So it's been a real mess and a curse on the party, and it hasn't been properly gripped by the leadership.
Just one last thing, because I think that this is something which I'd really love to hear your opinion on. You're a man who's spent a lot of time in the rest of the world, not just in British politics. Do you think liberal internationalism is in trouble? Putin in Russia, Trump in America, Boris Johnson in the UK. And do you think liberal internationalism has done its bit and it's time for it to exit stage right? Or do you think that there is still hope for it? I don't see in European politics a huge amount of confidence in the future of liberal internationalism, and particularly even the EU, from the point of view of certain countries that are toying with the idea themselves of getting further away rather than closer to this idea of a unified, centralized super state.
Well, my ideal, and the kind of ideal that figures like Nelson Mandela advocated and fought for, progressive internationalism, is under threat. There's no question about it. Whether you call it progressive or liberal or whatever label we put on it, Putin in Russia, Z in China, Erdogan in Turkey, Bolsonaro in Brazil, these are right-wing populist figures. And then across Europe, you have the extremes rising as well and shaking up the old order. And it's very troubling. I think it comes down to the state of the world economy, but that's probably for a conversation on another occasion, Gareth, if you were interested. I mean, I think this neoliberal economy that we've been in the grip of, which has widened inequality massively, including here in South Africa, it's happened as well. Britain has been a problem. Job insecurity, deindustrialization, all of that has produced Trump, now Boris Johnson, populist rises across Europe, Nazi-like extreme groups in Germany and elsewhere, and France and so forth. The world is in a very bad place at the moment. It's crying out for decent leadership. And I'm afraid Boris Johnson's rise to power is a sign of just how far away we are from decent, strong, progressive leadership of the kind that can make the world a safer and a better place and close the gap between rich and poor. And there isn't any sign of that happening.
Maybe it's just becoming less popular. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious also about your point of view with regard to our own president, Cyril Ramaphosa. You've been an open supporter of his. Do you feel that South Africa is getting out of the mess that we've been in under Jacob Zuma, which was justifiably our lowest moment post-democracy? Do you think Cyril Ramaphosa has the means to get us out of this mess, or do you think that he's sitting around
gormless? If anybody does, Gareth, then he does, because you haven't Cyril Ramaphosa, an individual with all the necessary skills, the political history and the struggle, the trade union leadership, the business leadership, the negotiating experience in the transition over the new constitution. There isn't anybody better placed. The ANC has been in a very bad place under Zuma and has got itself riddled with corruption, and so has the whole system of public administration, and turning that around is a big, hard job. I always said it would be when I was asked, when people were saying, oh, Ramaphosa has disappeared in a few weeks. Well, government is a hard thing to do, and he's got massive challenges. But in my view, he's the best person to do it. He's still got some of the bad guys in the ANC and elsewhere fighting back up against him, trying to resist what he's doing, cleaning the country up. But I think he deserves our support, and it's going to be a hard job.
Well, I hope that you're right about Cyril, because we're all holding thumbs. We can't go any more rock bottom at this point in terms of the economy. And certainly, I think a lot of people's hopes are wrapped up in the fact that he will act at some point. Lord Peter Hayne, it's a pleasure to speak to you as always. I hope that we'll get time for a longer chat, and enjoy your time here.
Thank you, Gareth.
Thank you so much.
Privileged to be on your program. Thank you.
Always good to talk to you. Lord Peter Hayne, talking to us from Johannesburg, where he's just arrived to undertake another of his visits. He has quite a few opinions on the things that are going on in Britain and some of the things that are happening here. So it's nice to hear from someone who's as forthright as he is about those opinions.
Very articulate about it's a bit of a kerfuffle.
It's a kerfuffle. It's a bit of a mess.
It's a bit of a kerfuffle, Gareth.
I've got my gorgeous friend, Zonia from Cape Town here. What are you doing here? She pops in to visit us. She also knows Gord.
Yeah, Zonia is. I've had a crush on Zonia for about 15 years.
You're
my favorite, but she's on some evil missions now.
What are you doing?
How's it, guys? How's it going?
What are you up to?
So, I just came to introduce you guys a little bit to Wixworth Gin.
Oh, is this a product mention that you're trying to squeeze in?
No, not at all.
Oh, really?
I just thought Gorge just said to me he's really tired, so I just said, like, get some creative inspiration and have a shot of Wix.
I didn't feel I needed to justify not wanting to drink a bit right now, given that it's Wednesday and it's like 20 past 7 almost. But I love the way you were trying to take this on you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, mimosas and Bloody Marys were breakfast drinks, right?
So. Now, listen, you're not a public personality, but I've seen you've been traveling all over the world because I follow you on Instagram. You just spent a huge amount of time in Italy.
Yes.
What are you doing with all this traveling? I'm very jealous.
That was unbelievable. So I actually went
I actually went
for a brand called Di Serrano, which is a beautiful Italian amaretto liqueur.
You work in the liquor business.
Yes,
it's clear.
I do.
She's
I
not
do.
Just a professional.
No, not just off on a didn't just go overseas for a drink.
A drink and a bit of
just
travel.
Pop to Italy for a quick drink.
It looked like one of these commercials almost. Every post that I saw of yours on Instagram, it's you in beautiful settings with beautiful people having fun.
Yeah, globetrotting like a champion.
Listen,
I've never felt like such a loser in my life.
Oh, whatever. Everyone's in freaking Europe at the moment. But it was just so unbelievable. I went to a place called Cinque Terre, which is consisting of 5 little villages. And just the people that I met there was unbelievable and it was surprising. And it was just, Italy just gets me emotional.
You speak any Italian now?
Si.
Come
stai? Bene.
Okay, there we go. Now sounding great.
If you're just convincing enough with the accent and you say 2 or 3 words, but you say them perfectly, people think that you are fluent, but just
100%.
Don't dig to talk a lot.
Yeah.
So I speak a little bit of a lot of languages, so I can start the intro on a lot of things.
Just a convincing amount.
Yeah.
That's
and then they start having a full conversation with me. In Italy, actually, I started speaking to this woman in the swimming pool, and we had a half an hour conversation, and I was just like, "Sì, certo." Yeah, and she had the full conversation.
And she thought you were Italian.
How much of what she was talking about did you go from?
About 5 to 10%.
Yeah, normal.
Fuck all, basically.
But hand language, I'm a hand talker. So
global traveler of the alcohol capitals of
the world. Look, I travel personally as well, but yeah, I get to see a lot of the world through the work that I do. Wixworth is a true South African brand.
All right, stop with your brand.
It's a really lovely gin.
It's a pretty bottle, since Gareth's been curmudgeonly about it. Rhino what?
Rhinosterbos infused.
Oh, I thought you said something totally different.
Nice.
Well, at least they find it use for the rest of the poor thing.
I wanted to ask you, Gord, there's a thing going on. They caught a leopard in a house.
I saw that.
Did you see the story?
Yeah.
I want to cry.
What was her name?
But you wanted to
not
ask
a cougar.
That's a different story. You don't catch those; you have to bait them.
Now, Benoni is a different universe.
Mm,
Well, it's not called Bayesni for a reason, Gareth. It's not even called Bamabini. It's fucking Benoni.
That's Italian.
And then they have Afrikaans. I'm sure "ber" is "no" in some other language because it's "ber no ni."
Oh man. All right, couple of things that we need to get to in the news. There are some stories that I'm sure that are on your mind as much as they are on mine. I don't want to talk any more about Brexit or politics or any of that shit.
Just reminds me of the Mike Tyson scene with the tiger in the bathroom. Like, you go find a leopard in your laundry after a big night out of the jaw, hit a bit of Wicksworth. Like, does anyone know how it got there?
Well, back to this Benoni story quickly. The vet was actually called out because these people were minding their own business at home.
Yeah.
And they heard the dog just bark.
You're the vet and you're used to working on dogs and cats and maybe occasionally a horse.
Yeah.
You don't expect to be called because there's a leopard.
Yeah, but just imagine being at home and you spot a leopard.
Leopards, so I'm from Hoedspruit and like on my mom's property, like it's open, it's on the Willie Funds River.
Wild animals all the
time. There's leopards all the way. Interesting fact, do you know that a leopard's pee smells like caramelized popcorn?
Excuse me?
No.
Yeah. Really?
You just ruined caramelized popcorn for me.
True story. But leopards are the most sneakiest little...
Yeah, yeah.
They use their delicious pee to trap animals to think that there's a confectionery stand.
I'll just pee on you. And
you're like, you're sitting there antelope-ing with your mates and you're like, what's that, Nige? Dunno. It's intoxicating and delightful. I'm sure it'll be crispy and delicious. Let's go and see.
Does your mum ever see leopards in the garden?
Yeah. Well, no, not in the garden. Like, there's a lot of hippos. There's a lot of crocodiles. There's a lot of lion walking around, wild dog. But the leopards are around. So there's spottings all the time.
And what are they? They mostly eat baboons, right?
They hunt baboons. They, it's not that they don't.
But
it's just they hunt anything they can, like anything of sort of medium size that they can get, that they can typically carry back up a tree with them. Yeah. But they were at various stages of human evolution, or various different sapien stages of evolution. One of our primary, if not our primary predator, descendants, ancestors of leopards,
mm-hmm.
Which are very similar to jaguars and panthers and pumas, all very closely related. They used to chill in a tree and wait for you to walk under the tree. Yeah. And then the teeth are designed in order to go into the skull and able to drag. So you literally get bitten on the head into a tree.
It's quite a gross way to go.
You know those things at the arcade where you put your coin in and you fail repeatedly at pulling up a soft toy?
Yes.
Leopards were better than that at humans.
Oh, wow. Yeah. How, is this like Google Gordon? Like, how do you know this stuff?
Well, you just told us it smells like caramelized popcorn.
How do you know what smells
like leopard pee? I'm from Hoedspruit. Like, it's stuff that I know.
I'm from South Africa and booked the library.
Well
and
done watch for being National a Geographic. Classic.
But yeah, leopards have historically been a serious problem for people, but not since we developed like big sticks and projectile weapons. They're a bit shy of people. So where your free roaming hippos and lions are just like coming and doing that rub their side against your leg thing.
The irony is that for humans, hippos are way more dangerous.
Yeah. Yes.
Hippos are the most dangerous animals after mosquitoes in the world.
More people are taken out by hippos than any other large animal.
Yeah,
I mean, that's kind of scary.
Because hippos are badass and they'll kick your ass.
Exactly. They're very dodgy. And the thing is, I mean, like by my mom's property as well, like they come every night. My mom's like wild child anyway, but she goes
she
and
feeds
puts,
them?
Yeah, she does. She
the hippos?
Puts out, yeah, she puts out Lucerne in the morning.
How is just like a casual day at home?
Yeah, you sit on the stoop and like literally
watch
there's a couple of hippos.
Yeah, you're right. If you don't mess with a hippo while it's just chilling and like having its ongoing pool party, it'll leave you alone.
Yeah.
But those things at night not only can go quite fast on land, they go kilometers away from a waterhole. So you're like, well, it's fine. We're 5Ks away from the waterhole. No,
they run.
Nighttime.
Yeah.
But what's that? A distant drum and bass party? It's getting closer. In comes a tank with feet with like cricket wickets for teeth that only wants to bite you in half. And eat your Lucerne.
Did I bump into hippos before? Oh, like, you see my the hippos, goodness. The little babies, like, walking around. The one day my mom said to me, like, oh, you know what? Go look, like, because literally it's the river in front of us, and then there's a, what do you call it, like a little island, and then across from it, the river's bigger. So my mom's like, go, and go take photos of the hippos on the other side. And I'm like, listen, are you going to watch out because it's baby season? Are you going to watch out for the hippos?
Yeah, you don't want to get in between a mom and their baby. Yeah.
So I'm like walking, like we had a A couple of wicks with gins. So I'm walking, so I'm like, Mom, can you just check out for the hippos that's gonna maybe potentially attack your daughter and eat me? Like, and I'm walking, and as I look back, my mom's on a damn cell phone sending like to the WhatsApp groups. And
gosh.
I'm like, anyway, I didn't find the hippos. I came back, got bung bubblers, and just like,
now, you friends with them because you've managed to fake their language. So they come up to you and they do their series of grunting. And then Zonya just looks like with an face of empathy and goes, and then the hippo is like, now they've got a reputation for this. The pretty one with the brown hair, she understands. Yeah. All we would like is for the lucerne to be a bit more dry.
I know, but I once saw a little baby hippo, and it was so small. I thought it looked like a little dog, and then it was just like walking, and it was like a baby hippo, and I don't know where his mom was, and like I wanted to call it in Guara Guara, like the, you know, and I just keep on saying to my mom, please go find the little hippo in Guara Guara, and we could just raise it.
Do you think they have the ability now to recognize specifically like your mom? They know that this is where we get fed and this isn't a person we are like going to trample over. Do they have that?
Yes.
Aspect?
Yeah, I think
this is the most random topic
they will destroy you. If you get between them and their river when they need to get home at night, I would not have predicted
this. It's like Gareth is like, oh yeah, Zonya's coming. You know her. And I'm like, oh yeah.
And now we're talking about
hippos. She's so great. And then off air, you were like literally trying to convince me to start drinking gin with you. Like actually, not Zonya, with that. I'm not kidding.
I'm going to chase you out.
And now we're discussing
hippos. I'm going to chase you out because you're a bad influence. You're trying to get Gord drunk.
I never get to see Zonya. Should we be keeping her?
Yay, guys.
Yeah, because she's just a prop, right?
Once every like 8 years, I see Zonya.
Let's see what else is going on in the news. Yeah. What else is happening?
Yo, there's tons going on. So first, let's start with an interesting podcast that I got into yesterday, actually, and I think it's worth discussing a bit of it. Do you know who Lorne Michaels is?
Yes, he is the founder and the executive producer of Saturday Night Live.
Mm. And a show that's been easily going on for over 40 years.
No, it's a big show.
Yeah. So the podcast was discussing him and then went into talking about the franchise that is Saturday Night Live, and was so interesting to see how the whole show gets put together and the amount of work that actually goes into
Lorne
a
Michaels,
show like this.
Lorne Michaels may be the most powerful man in live television. In some ways, because he's managed to get President Obama to host Saturday Night Live. He's managed to get every single comedian in the world onto that show in some
way,
shape, or form.
He's built these stars.
These big stars come on. They can't wait to be part of Saturday Night Live. Singers, actors.
And I've never heard of the dude. I got to just fess up. I know all about, I've heard all about Saturday Night Live, obviously. I didn't know there was like one main person behind the whole thing.
I'd really suggest just it's quite an interesting story to Google him and to Google how they put the whole show together. I got sucked into this rabbit hole yesterday of researching him and researching Saturday Night Live. And it's interesting how they put the show together. So this is just like a rough week of how the show gets put together. And the premise of the show is it's about like 13 or 14 sketch segments that are all recorded live and are all created week after week. And it's a 90-minute show that goes out on a Saturday. And it was started 40 years ago and airs at about 11:30 p.m. In American time. So they actually had this freedom back then to say, well, no one's watching at 11:30, so we can really do whatever.
You could push the envelope.
And
more
that was what sparked their creativity. So the show also centers around a guest host every single week and also a musical guest. But a guest host is usually like a big actor who's promoting a movie, and it's quite fun to put them in all of these situations. So this guest host will meet with a team of writers and cast members on a Monday, and this is when they pitch jokes and they pitch a bunch of different sketch and story ideas. And Lorne Michaels really is a guy who gets to yay or nay the entire process. He says he reads between like 14 scripts every single day to say this will work, this won't, this will work, this won't.
That's amazing.
And
he makes the call and all that
stuff. And it's all resting on his shoulders.
That's why I'm saying he's so powerful. The guy, he really can make or break a career. Like all these guys on late night. Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy, what's the other one? Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon.
There's so many Jimmys.
Seth Meyers on
they all
Late
started
Night,
on,
Conan
on
O'Brien.
Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
I don't think Kimmel
I've never got honest. Conan O'Brien. I just don't see the appeal. I mean, I don't hate him or anything. It's
does
like,
the red hair
but yeah, no, I just, I watch, whenever I watch him, I'm like, if his guest's interesting, then cool. What's, he himself, I find a little.
What's going on in your love life, Zanya?
Oh, no, are we there
oh,
yet now?
Oh, good Lord.
That escalated
there.
So
my, you got my attention.
We were Lord Michael's thing.
I was Saturday Night Live, and now I'm Gordon Wednesday morning right here.
Looking at her now, and I'm thinking, you know what? She's definitely marriage material.
Oh, thank you.
All right, we'll need to take a photo of
like
her.
Like a very fine thoroughbred horse. She's in good condition. She could easily go out to
hairy from face to feet like a thoroughbred.
www.findzonyahusband.com. Right?
That's the one. Oh, so how are we doing on that front?
So yes, I do. I got myself a guy.
Ooh.
His name is Eve. He is
as in
French.
As in Y-V-E-S-S.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes, like Yves Saint Laurent.
Oui.
So you've got the little thing.
Yves Saint Laurent?
Yves Saint Laurent.
Oui.
Oh, my gosh.
So tell me about this guy.
So
oui. But have you, do you just pretend to understand him? Is he like, je ne sais quoi?
Yeah.
You're like, to their relationship.
Oui.
Oh, he doesn't have to speak for me to understand him. But, yeah, so we met.
Jesus is head.
Speak the language of love. No, I'm talking about the duck.
So, what? No.
Gordon.
Mommy, muni luister me.
Right, go on, Zon, tell
okay.
us.
So basically, just random story. A mate of mine that's in Zambia sent me a message on Instagram saying, French guy coming to Cape Town, do you want to take him out? And I was like, oh, French. Anyway, I didn't want to go out. My friend Catherine convinced me to go out that night, send the guy a message.
And he said, join us.
Yeah, and I was like, come, dude. Anyway,
and you were expecting like some horrible French person.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Anyways, we went out, ended up going home at like 3 o'clock, not together. He walked me to my door, he gave me a kiss, and then he went home to his place. Au revoir. And then the next morning...
The learning in this is do the kiss and leave thing.
I know. Because, I was just like, this is impressive.
You got to give her space.
Yeah, exactly. No, he was such a gentleman, but he still took me to my door. This dude was like, I've been done planning this. Like... All right. Take
so
it to
then,
the door.
What's the second?
So then the next morning, a little bit hungover, I said to him, I'll show him around Cape Town, and literally showing him around Cape Town, is taking him to the biscuit mall, giving him a glass of champagne, a burger, and we'll show. Oh, that's Table Mountain. He's like, no, I want to go to Cape Point. I'm like, I don't want to go to Cape Point. He doesn't really speak to it like that, but I like that.
It's more, it's just funny.
And I'm like, but at that stage,
so he does or doesn't
very,
have a thick French accent.
He does, like he does, sexy. But he speaks very, like, he speaks very well English. And then anyway, he says to me, no, he wants to go to Cape Point. And I'm like, I don't have a car. I was Ubering at the moment. He's like, we will take a bus. I'm like, we will not take a bus. We will take a taxi. I'm like, no. Anyway, I got my friend Catherine's car, drove all the way to Cape Point. This guy made me hike like 750,000 kilometers. And I just went like, okay. And just keeps on.
Cause did you realize already you were like, this guy's fine ass.
Why would you hike?
I'm willing to hike. Cause I mean, I would be like, no.
This is where I don't understand women sometimes. Why would you put yourself through a huge, long, arduous hike? Unless you were interested in him.
I have no idea.
Because he kissed you politely.
No, there had to be a little part of you that was like, I'm willing to do
this. How
little? Gosh.
Anyway.
And then anyway, it was really, really, it just, I don't know what happened, but every single place we went, it was like we were the only people. And I'm like, did this guy plan it? And it's like, you know, on the beach, like, and I don't know if you've been to Cape Point. And it's like, it's just us. And then we went to the top of a mountain.
There were other people, but you just couldn't see them because of the love that was blossoming in your heart.
The last thing is, and then this guy convinced me to do a surfing road trip with him up like Garden Route. And I'm like, no. And eventually I'm like, okay. So literally went, he made me stay in Backpackers. Okay.
Backpackers?
Yes.
No, that's so huge.
How to come right with women. First, don't try get in there. Secondly, go make them do everything you want to do. Take them on a long list of activities that they hate. So, cool.
And then he gave me pot course, and I think that's where I fell in love. The food from the night before, you know, like back in the
day. He gave you leftovers.
Yes.
That was what sealed the deal.
And I'm just completely in love with him. He taught me how to surf. We went to Portugal. Portugal, France, Spain together. He taught me how to surf. Like, we got to spend time in water. And it's
this
just
is a very
amazing.
Sexy. This is a sexy story.
It
you
is.
End up going to surf in all these beautiful
He's
places.
He's like my French Borussian almost.
How long have you guys been together?
About a year.
Now. Oh, this is like legit.
Yeah,
I thought
exactly.
this was busy blossoming.
And he's moving to South Africa, GC.
I'm going to cry.
I know.
Yeah, is he going to skive off of you or is he going to get a job?
So he's going to take some time off for October, November.
So now
December.
He gets to date you and not work.
Yes. No,
jeez,
well,
honestly, I don't know. I'm not. This is why disrespecting God from an early age is not the way forward.
Why?
Because I need that life. I'm going to date Zonia and she's going to pay for everything.
No.
It's
like
not
a good
true.
Deal.
It's not true. He's coming for a while, then we're going to France at the end of the year to meet his family, and then we'll take it from there.
Well, I'm very happy for you.
So
it sounds good.
Don't pull in when you got the chance. Drag a person off on lots of activities they don't want to go on. Then come live with them and they can pay for stuff.
Yeah,
I've got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He'll pay. But listen, I did say to GC the other day, I saw the picture of you being old and I was like, marry me now. And
we've got a bit of a deal going.
Yeah.
Like if I don't end up with anybody and she doesn't end up with anybody, then we'll just hook up.
Yeah, I win because you and me have the same deal, Gareth. So is my cutoff after it doesn't work out with Sonia?
Is it a deal with me or with Gareth?
No, with GC.
Oh,
but
okay.
I'll trade you in a heartbeat.
Okay, because you can't make babies.
We never made a deal. You're deluded.
Okay, well, we strongly agreed.
You should have that little
implied.
Matchy thing to see what your kids would look like.
No, Jesus.
I don't think the world
happen,
deserves
no.
that.
Okay, am I getting kicked out?
It's your time.
No, please stay.
Oh, well,
I've got your bottle of Wixworth.
I'm confused. You guys are confusing me.
God doesn't make the rules. Thank you, Zan.
Can I keep the Wixworth Rhinoceros infused classic dry gin handcuffs?
All right, Gordon
Laws. With six botanicals.
Thank you very much.
Guys, thank you so much. It was so much fun. He just cut off my mic. Okay, I'm out of here.
All
love
the
you
best
guys.
With your French affairs.
Thank
love
you so much. I'll update you guys soon.
If he has any brothers, you can pass them over this way.
Five or less botanicals is never enough.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you, Zonia.
All right. Always nice to have a visit. Someone says...
give me five of those.
Someone says here, first baboon, now leopard. Americans are looking at us like we told you there were animals running.
Oh, dude, in Florida, they've got people whose full-time jobs is to pull alligators out of swimming pools. Like, there's shit that will just eat you. In the States, they've got all kinds... I mean, you got to bear in mind, like, a tiny percentage of the States is massive, sprawling cities. And they have lots of those because they're a continent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like most continents, they also have vast tracts of open land. Usually kind of in between where states or towns meet. I mean, even LA, which is basically, if you take Edenvale and you apply it in 40 directions up and 40 directions down.
Edenvale.
Yeah, Edenvale to the power of 9 is what LA is like, with like a hillbrowish CBD in the middle. And then you go like out of that sprawling nightmare of a flat traffic clogged metropolis hell, you go like, literally 5 or 10 miles out of the city and there's like mountain lions, deer, public land where with the right license you can go and hunt. Yes, okay, so obviously like a lot of the world think that we walk around riding elephants and
yeah, they do. They think we've got lions.
There's tigers and
street,
bears
yeah.
in the streets and whatever. But in reality, like the America's got a lot of wild right on its doorstep as well. And Florida is insane.
Did you just have a problem there?
I did.
It was overwhelmed.
I did do an old man air fail.
Like a hippo, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, this week we've been talking a lot about influencers and what they post, and let's just roll our eyes at the story as well.
Oh, hang on. Gord sent me screenshots of the girl he was talking about the
other
day.
Okay, but we can't name her though, because that's not okay. Like, yeah, but remember,
wait, please remind me.
Because I was talking about how there's this lady human. If call her a girl, I'll incite somebody. There's this woman person, who was like a professional bikini / lingerie hot girl with huge boobs for many years.
Uh-huh.
Did the whole EFC Africa thing. Was in FHM once or twice back in the day. And I mean, she pushed the boundary of where we thought taste sort of, and that was a far boundary.
Oh, this is getting juicy. I'm just waiting for
all I can say is that she was even one click too strippery for us back then. And like, She disappeared for a few years. No one knew why. I actually asked because I know her socially and she's harmless enough and nobody knew where she, some said she'd had problems with substance. Other people said no, she'd been with some really rich dude and just traveling and living best life. But for 5 years, all social profiles down, and now she's back, looks exactly the same, whether these pictures were all taken. But the, every day there's a new photo with barely no clothing and the posts are like, you know, a bruised heart and a battered soul are just the life's way of telling you that you've lived. Never let anyone not think your scars are beautiful. Or like, every day is an opportunity for your new self to beat your past self. Unlimited capability.
Meanwhile, the photo is?
Meanwhile, it's just like sluting it up 1,000%. So, when I wanted to show everybody last week, her profile was down, and then it's back up now. So I screenshotted Gareth.
Yeah. So let me just throw this in. She is extremely attractive.
In her boobs the size of watermelons, but
really? she's got a beautiful face.
Yeah, she's very attractive in that
lovely
way.
Lovely eyes. She's probably a very sweet girl, but clearly, like she says, souls don't break; they bounce. The secret of change is leaving the past behind and focusing on building a new, brighter future. Peace and love.
And the other 80% of that post is tits.
Yes, but it says peace and love and then hashtag swimming model, hashtag tropical paradise.
So my problem is not people being attractive and being proud of being attractive. My problem is not even a problem. I don't care what people do. I just think it's funny that a completely unrelated inspirational quote has to go with every picture that literally says, please come and see how hot I am and tell your friends because I need people to follow me purely on the basis of being hot.
If you were in her position, then what would you say? Hey, just like
my
tits.
Look how awesome I look in this brand X bikini. I would just be like, look how fucking hot I am. I don't know.
All right. So what did you want to tell us about these influencers?
I think we'll just enjoy laughing at the story because there's this weird quarry in Spain which looks gorgeous when you take a photo of it because
quarry is in a massive pile of rocks. Okay.
And has this large pool of water which is this gorgeous turquoise color. But the community around this quarry.
So it's a bit like a very small version of the Kimberley Hole. They've like dug a hole, it's all rocky around it, and inside is this very blue little pool,
gorgeous
mini lake of water.
Yeah, gorgeous colored water. But the community have been warned not to go towards this quarry, and they understand it because it's a hazard. And more than that, the community then urges tourists not to go to this quarry. Don't do it. It's not safe for you. It's hazardous. But Instagram influencers haven't been taking to this warning and they think no one's going to get between me and my perfect shot. It now seems several Instagram users who've gone to this quarry to take a photo at Mount Neem in Spain have now fallen ill. And I'm not just talking about any sort of ill that you and I wouldn't mind, but it's an Instagram influencer's worst nightmare. They've been
influitis.
They've been breaking out in hives and rashes.
Is it from the water?
From the water.
Gonna go swim in that Ming water and get that perfect Instagram shot. Now, you never see a picture of the same girl that we were talking about now being like, day four of the mumps. Sue, check out my mump. Hanging in there. Hashtag, but we'd life throws you mumps, mumpinade. Like, I don't know what the fuck. Like, yeah, take the good with the bad. Where are you when you're not feeling well with your inspirational quotes on how just hang in there and it'll get better?
You honestly could not script this better. It's everything to do with their aesthetics that gets ruined.
Come look at me. This picture is about tits. You know, it would be like, those are the only pictures. You're not following someone's life and they happen to be hot. This is like, these are my pictures of me being hot. It's not like, hey, look, I bought a new toaster, you know, like Smeg, that Smeg life.
Some users.
Gareth's response to it is unshareable on air, but his response to the picture that I sent with the quote and everything was the funniest thing. It was so cynical and so angry.
Some users have had and reported
this woman, condemned this woman to a life that no one should be condemned.
Well, I think it's you really, they've been warned, so that's what you get.
Yeah.
Some users have had skin rashes for weeks.
Now,
they've been vomiting and had other stomach problems as well.
On that, bear in mind that water gets everywhere. So if it's doing that to the outside.
Oh,
think
yeah.
of the places you don't see in the Instagram image. Where Mesa, the water goes.
Someone has reported that their digestive system was all screwed up.
Their whole digestive
system. Someone.
Yeah, the whole digestive system. The whole thing. I mean, that is literally the hand you use to put food in, the mouth where it goes in, everything in between, where it comes out.
Someone had to have their eyes treated after being in this water as well. And this is all, mind you, just for one measly photo.
Do they know
on
what's
Instagram.
In the water? So it is very, I mean, like for again, for the listeners who can't see, you said it's called what? Neem? Mount Neem?
Mount Neem.
N-I-M-E-S.
Yeah, in Spain.
Mount Neem. Google it if you get a chance. It's just very, like, very unnaturally blue water, but probably very unnaturally blue because shit be seeping into the water from the earth.
Yes, it's got dangerous chemicals.
Yeah, exactly.
It actually
That's
turns
where the
out.
Lizard people that run the earth from inside its hollow center send up the vapors from their special atmosphere that only they
the
can
lizard
breathe.
People.
Come up through the waters of Mount Neem, and they're slowly intentionally global warming, and that's where the chemtrail chemicals come from. And that shit will fuck you if it gets in your coochie, and not in a good way.
Oh God, now we're gonna have people telling us about the lizard conspiracies. You've just opened up a can of worms.
Well, Seth just opened up the center of the earth to vent via Mount Neem.
Sure, Gord, should we go with that or just what the quarry actually officially says is the problem?
Well, I don't believe them, whoever they are, because they have a fucking agenda and it's all Big Pharma and Monsanto. But let's hear their lies before
the quarry actually says.
Yeah, I don't know what they've said, but let's hear their lies so we can give them a fair chance.
The quarry actually says it's connected to a tungsten mine that was used.
By that you mean the people behind the quarry. The quarry itself doesn't go, I am yes. connected to a tungsten mine. Stay away, mortal humans, lest I infect your coochie with hives. And
I'm
then
pretty
people
sure
are like, screw you, man.
Coochie
We're
monster.
Coming in anyway to take Instagram photos. Hashtag blessed. Hashtag best life. Hashtag namaste. Hashtag many spelling errors.
No, there's no coochie monster
okay,
going
back to
after
the actual
this. Yes.
story. Before
the people
I get
behind the quarry
interrupting.
The people behind the quarry have said it's because it's connected to a tungsten mine that was used back in World War II, and this is why you can't go around there, let alone get into the water. That's what
That's
you get.
That's why they had those campaigns for
I just
decades.
Wanna,
don't put your bum in
I
tungsten.
Congratulate.
Don't put your tongue in tungsten. You'll break out in hives and lose your fucking lives. Stay away from pools of tungsten. And I mean, we all learned that in school. And nowadays, you don't get special. Stay away from chemical songs.
I missed that one. Sorry, I think I must have been
well,
absent at school that day.
Well, that's why you and young people like you are doomed to get tungsten hives anytime you go Instagramming.
And then what happens to my coochie as well?
It gets fucked and not in a good way. I think we've broken GC.
You just gotta stop. You have to stop. Don't put your bum in tungsten.
Don't put your tongue in tungsten. You'll break out in hives or maybe lose your lives. Everybody don't fuck with tungsten. Okay. So anyway. I think that's it for Gareth. We're gonna have to wheel him out of here.
I'm just imagining all these dumb Instagram influencers.
We should invest in like as a way of improving the genetic, in way of improving the gene pool, and letting give Darwin a hand. We should build the most picturesque thing ever, like the ultimate fucking perfect backdrop. There'll just be like private planes flanked by like a private island, but everything is poisonous. We should make Australia a hip place to go take photos and then let the poisonous shit eat the Instagram.
Let all the spiders
and
the snakes.
Australia wants you dead.
Yeah, it does.
And if you're alive, it wants you following the rules, but mostly dead.
Well, I kind of don't want
it. Would be interesting to like lure
people
these Instagrammers
into it, like make exactly like a Venus flytrap for Instagrammers at the most dangerous place ever, but it looks rad.
Okay, so what are the essentials? What do you put there?
It's quicksand. those pits like Rambo did where it's all
spikes
and,
them,
but
yeah.
You put like palm leaves on top of them. Shit that where they're going to have to like, I mean, what are they going to do? They're going to hold their phone toward them. So definitely stuff that attacks from the front because they're looking behind them in the camera.
Do you know how sick and twisted you sound right now?
Yeah. It's an attack from the front.
Because back.
Listen, did you hear about this thing Leanne brought up on the show on Monday, I think, or yesterday? They discovered a whale.
A whale-sized thing.
So it was a monster that lived 43 million years ago. And you know how we like the...
Yeah, prehistoric shit. Yeah.
This one is the size of a whale. It's shaped like a whale, but with a beak, but with lots of teeth in it. Mm. And it has four legs with hooves.
Webbed feet.
Yeah. This is when God was running out. He was like, okay, well, we got all these extra parts, and I'm hitting these oaks with a meteor soon. We might as well just have a clearance sale on parts of shit and just throw it all together. Or else some shit just way exceeded its evolutionary, like when a toucan started evolving to get bigger and go into the water, and you thought, natural selection will sort this crap idea out. And like 10 million years after that, you've got like giant toucans with horse feet swimming in the water. I think that thing probably sounds like it scared, it shocked. Oh my sack, there's a picture of it. Yeah, now that doesn't look like a great time. I don't know how to describe this except that it's a big blob of gray with duck feet at the back, otter feet at the front.
By the way, those otter feet have hooves on them.
A long tail that's a little bit kind of
stubby.
Yeah, like dinosaur-y, and its face is just like many pairs of scissors that can open and close.
With sharp teeth.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, no, see, it's this.
That's a great description. How would you feel if that was chasing you?
And God, remember, by
defeated.
The way.
I would feel defeated, and it wouldn't be chasing me. I would stop and look it clear in the eyes and say, well done, evolution.
Remember, it's whale-sized as well. This is what they say.
Well, I'm no appetizer myself. See, let me tell you.
Did you ever watch that? There was a movie about, I think it was called Evolution.
Yes, where the evolution went complete. There's always time for lubrication. What? The little wasp thing goes up his nort, and they have to get it out, and there's no time for lube.
Who was in it?
The oak from Californication, David Duchovny.
David Duchovny, but there was also that funny guy from Jurassic Park.
Yes, Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum, that's it.
And also the very hot Orlando one that
Jones,
was in Bad Boys. And
Julianne Moore.
Yes, that's the one.
No, I was thinking of Julianne Moore. I was thinking of Taylor Leone, but that's incorrect. She's actually just married to David Duchovny. But it was a very, very funny movie because the alien life form lands, and it just literally its evolutionary process is like a couple of hundred times faster or thousands of times faster than on Earth. So what lands as a bit of snot eventually evolves. All of evolution.
It turns into
happened. Everything.
Yeah, it turns into everything. You end up with these creatures with like six arseholes. And
yeah, and just as they're about, like the thing rises out of nothing. And as it's about to eat you, it just dies and is replaced by something else because everything evolves so fast.
It's the most incredible
very
idea.
Funny movie. I hope it's held up well over time. I'd actually like to watch that again. It was very funny. I'll never forget. There's always time for lube.
But don't they have to? In the final scene, they have to use a crane and get up into the anus
into
of this
the
thing.
Anus.
No.
Yeah. And they have to spray this like bubblegum colored stuff into the anus of this creature.
Of this massive, massive blob of creature that's like taking over planet Earth.
And then it dies. Yeah, it farts.
They find out that it's based on, instead of being based on carbon or something, it's based on something else. I don't remember the premise, but they figure out that something kills it and they go into its anus and they explode it with like a fire hose that sprays some chemical.
It is the best movie. I can't wait to see it now.
Yeah, because it's such a fun premise. Because shit evolves. Like if left unchecked, shit evolves crazy. Like if there's nothing there to prevent your crap design from working, crap design will thrive.
Absolutely.
Everybody thinks that like all evolution is clever. Some animals are just like, somebody should have eaten you.
Going back into particularly like the Jurassic and the Triassic era, mm-hmm. and even the mammals that came after that, these creatures are, they're just unbelievable. They do look like the junk parts that were thrown together into a blender and these monsters evolved. Because there were some terrifying looking things with odd numbers of appendages.
Yeah. And you remember the Satan Gourd bird, the ginormous bird that was the size of like three giraffes stacked on top of each other.
Yes.
That had a beak the size of a Volkswagen, except pointier and more terrifying and just like all kinds of horrific shit.
I'm so glad we're alive now.
And saber tooth everything. There was a phase where just everything had to have saber teeth. We're like, cool, you know today's bunnies? Now imagine that, only 6 times larger and with swords for teeth. Oh look, saber tooth butterfly. Getting attacked.
Saber tooth butterfly.
They're just like saber teeth on everything. God was like, fuck, we made too many of these saber teeth, O's. Like, nope. Seriously, I don't know, I got nowhere left to store them. The battle with Lucifer and the fallen angels is over. We can't even stab them. We can't rain this on people because it's just a little bit too hectic. Let's put them in things' mouths.
Prehistoric man is just laughing at us then. We're complaining about a leopard.
Prehistoric man, know, laughed at
found
nothing.
In a yard. No, but we're complaining about a leopard found in our yard when they had to deal with saber-tooth
literally
butterflies.
Literally getting eaten. Like, all you wanted as a prehistoric man was to live long enough to die of a terrible illness. You're like, yes. I hope I make it long enough to succumb to infection because
frostbite is a good way to go.
Your parents would just breed, and it had to have like
out of the 20 children that they'd have,
one would survive to have its own 20 children,
and the rest,
and many not,
but the rest would all be eaten,
food of something else, or they would like break their ankle lightly and die because of not being able to keep up with the herd, or graze themselves lightly on their elbow and die of postulating infection. Humans only developed laughter hundreds of thousands of years later after the last saber-toothed shit died off.
Prehistoric man had
no need of laughing. Yeah. And that's why sex is such a problem for us now, because in order for these things did not want to carry on living. Prehistoric man was like, fuck this. So there was a built-in boning instinct and a built-in don't off yourself instinct. Oh. Now many of them stood on cliff edges and went, I don't understand why I can't just jump. Not that suicide's funny, but that they just wanted to bone because God was like, I'm going to make sex feel real good because living sucks for these guys.
God was so considerate.
I'm going to program this in so hard.
Guys, it's 50 degrees everywhere, but don't stand in the shade because things eat you from the tree.
And if you're in the sun, things will swoop down.
Yeah, there's things in the sky that will swoop down. The caves are full of bears.
And if you get into the water, the things that
there's
you there
there's a fucking
too.
Beaked thing with horse feet in the water that will
and
shine.
Roofs.
Yeah. And don't go into the cave because there's saber-toothed squirrels and saber-toothed bears in there. Although humans actually didn't live at the time of any dinosaurs.
No, thank God. But you know what?
We didn't need to. We had saber-toothed leopards. Dinosaurs, fuck it. That was overkill. We weren't even snacks for dinosaurs. Dinosaurs would have needed us so that something could eat us that they could then eat.
That's the real
circle
of life.
It's like those tiny little plates of hors d'oeuvres that they serve at fancy cocktail parties.
Were we those little things?
We were like those. Dinosaurs would have
been
too small.
Yeah, we were shitty. We weren't even a good child, so some shit would have just left us right alone. However, saber-toothed leopard.
It's a good intermediary.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I don't know where the fuck we just went this morning.
Well, I appreciate, Sia, your patience with Gordon and I this morning.
Sorry, Sia.
And I appreciate the patience of anyone who sat and listened to this shit for the last hour. Well done.
I brightened right up when Zonia came.
Oh, my God.
What? Brightened. I thought you said dried up.
No, I brightened up.
You brightened up.
Just all right, sunshine. Let me just see that I haven't left anything out before we close this off for this morning. We've got a hell of an event tonight. Make sure that you join us at 7:30 this evening for a live stream. It'll be live streamed in video and audio. A very interesting collection of guys who've really made the broadcasting business in South Africa what it is today.
Broadcasting.
Broadcasting. I call it broadcasting because what else do you call it? It's not.
I'm a broadcaster.
It's radio and TV, right?
It's the Gareth Cliff Show on cliffcentral.com.
Thank you, Gordon.
Free of rent.
There we just outlasted our usefulness by about 5 seconds. All right. Thank you, everybody.
Love
we'll
you guys.
Cheers.
Okay, bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.